Now we're going to check in with the editorial board of the Arizona Republic. It's a regular segment where we talk about the big issues facing the state and the region, featured in the newspaper's viewpoint section. The leaders of the proposed Invest in Ed ballot initiative turned in their petition signatures earlier this month. The measure, which would raise income taxes on higher-income Arizonans, is expected to have enough valid signatures to be on November's ballot. 4 months out, battle lines on the initiative are already being drawn, and the Republic featured a pair of pro-con columns on the measure. Republic editorial director Phil Boas joins me to discuss them in his weekly appearance. So, Phil, why is it already time to debate Invest in Ed? We're 4 months out from the election.
It is a hot issue, and it's a hot issue because it comes right after the Red for Ed walkouts and the march on the Capitol, and also because it proposes to radically remake how we fund public schools in Arizona. This is a big change, and there are some large implications here, and it's an okay time to start talking about this.
So, the Chamber of Commerce is opposed to the idea of raising income tax on those making a certain level of income. They don't seem opposed to potentially raising the sales tax or doing something different with that in order to fund education. What's the basic argument at this point in terms of, is it a class warfare argument to some extent?
Well, the argument on the business side of this is that you're basically telling voters that you can have your cake and eat it too. You can have all of this enormous funding to improve public schools and you won't have to pay for it because we're only going to tax the 1%, the richest Arizonans. Now, the problem, and the business people point this out, the problem is those people you want to tax are the job creators. They're the wealth producers in this state. They're pretty valuable people in the state. A lot of states want them and they can walk. That money can move. And the left will argue, well, they don't generally move. But if you want to see it, you want to see how the left that has to deal with this is reacting, look at what happened after you saw the tax reforms that the Trump and the Republican Congress put through. And they put a cap on what's called the SALT, state and local tax deductions. And this is for wealthy people. It meant they were now going to feel the full brunt of those state taxes. You are seeing states like New York, California, New Jersey, blue states with Democratic governors. New Jersey has a Republican governor, but these are blue states that are scrambling now to so that their rich people don't get hit so hard by this.
Mm. What's the middle ground here? Is there a middle ground? I mean, if there had been some sort of income tax increase proposed, which we know would never make it through the legislature, in combination with a sales tax increase, is there something that everyone sort of pays their fair share for an important component of this community, the education community?
There is. And the middle ground is an agreement on something that I think a lot on the business side of this and a lot on the education side of this agree that we need a more sustainable source of public monies coming into education. That's something we can count on year after year. And there has been an effort within the business community, three CEOs, former CEOs, who have been working to get a 1.5-cent sales tax increase on the ballot. Now, the education left, I would call them in this case, Red for Ed, would argue that sales taxes are regressive and therefore unduly hit the poor. But the education community was arguing not so only months ago for sales tax increases. So that's a specious argument.
Are we already in this mode of where the arguments are not going to be quite as much about the issues as many of us would like? That the fact that Noah Carvelis attended some socialist event in Chicago is now the focus of it, whereas a lot of people would argue that the movement isn't about Noah Carvelis. I mean, he has been front and center, but does that show something in terms of what the strength of the arguments are one way or the other?
I think the business community made a mistake when they start going to sort of communist, comrade rhetoric, that kind of thing. I don't think it's misplaced to call this socialist. It is socialist. It is about the redistribution of wealth. It's about making a fraction of the people shoulder the entire burden of improving our public schools, of getting the additional funding that's badly needed in those schools when all of us should be shouldering that burden.
We know that socialism in the United States is a buzzword. Are we getting to a point, though, where that it should be more about the actual numbers rather than the words like that?
Well, I think the word is less of a pejorative than it used to be. That's troubling to me on the right. I'm a conservative. It's less pejorative. Look at Bernie Sanders, you know, an unabashed socialist. Look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, mm-hmm. New York, who just won, not afraid to call herself a socialist or push socialist programs. Socialism is coming back, and you're seeing it among millennials. So no, I don't think it is the pejorative it used to be, and we ought to be upfront about what this is. This is the redistribution of wealth. This is confiscating the wealth of the wealthiest Arizonans who earn that money, by the way, taking it to solve a big social problem. And if we do it with this social problem, we'll be back to do it again with another one.
Does this then call on the legislature to actually do some things from this standpoint, Phil? That there seems to be a disconnect in terms of, I would suggest, I don't have polling to back this up, but the general public feels like K-12 schools in Arizona are underfunded. I think the governor feels that way. Does the majority of the legislature feel that way? And is there a feeling that this, regardless of whether this is a good initiative or not, does it have to push the legislature to act in a way that the majority of the public, regardless of what their little district may think, the majority of the public wants?
Well, I think we saw an affirmation from the legislature with the extension of Prop 301. I mean, you're talking, what, $640 million.
Some people might say that should have been a rubber stamp, though.
Perhaps, but that was a huge advance for public schools. That needed to happen, and there was real doubt. You know, we were looking at a possible cliff in a few years, and so to go and take care of that was important. A lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives were not standing pat on education. They were trying to push dollars in that direction. When Ducey offered his 20% pay increase to Red for Ed, they slapped him away, and now we know why. They slapped his hand away because they wanted invest in Ed.
Phil Boas is editorial director of the Arizona Republic.